6 p.m. For that as well. followed by our Lenten study. We're having a great study taking us through Lent up until the great resurrection day of Easter morning. So come out and join us for that as well. A reminder, this Friday coming up at 6:30, the United Methodist Women are having their spring banquet and fashion show. So I don't know if it's too late to get tickets or not for that, but I think you probably can. Prepare, they need a head count for meals, of course, so please be in touch with the announcement in your bulletin that you can see who the contact people are for that as well. That's it for the announcements this morning. I would like to invite Ken Chanel, our finance chair, to come forward and give us a State of the Church address.
Thank you, Pastor David. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'd like to point out that our financial report is printed on green paper, not red paper. and it's a beautiful day in the house of the Lord, and we have much to be thankful for.
Amen.
Our church is in very good condition. In regards to the pledge campaign that we just completed in January, in the year 2014, last year, we had 73 families turn in pledges. This year, that number has increased to 82 families, and it was a $20,000 increase in amount of pledges, which helps us in the finance area to determine how, you know, we can plan our budget for the coming year. So we want to thank you for that. Just as little as a few years ago, we were only having about 50 families pledging per year. So an increase of 30 families is very good. Now for the year 2014, our apportionments assessed were $14,186. The church congregation actually donated $14,986 towards the apportionments. So we overpaid our apportionments by $800. And we got paid out from the district on time. Our insurance for the year 2014 was $14,126. And additionally, during 2014, the congregation gave $3,874 towards the children's home, which we're going to be visiting this Saturday. The other areas of missions, Cross, the mission jar that we have at the back of the sanctuary, our special Sunday offerings, and Blanket Sunday, and if you all remember our Stop Hunger Now campaign, where we bagged 20,000 meals in just a few hours, that amounted to $15,145 in contributions. And of course, we had our capital campaign, in which you all donated $6,000. So, we had a very satisfactory year for 2014. Now for 2015, our apportionments have increased. They went up to $14,822. I'm very proud and happy to report that we have already paid our total apportionment bill for 2015. During 2014, amounted to a total of $251,382. So our expenses for payroll, staff, office, utilities, ministries, miscellaneous outreach, and the other programs amounted to $182,200, round numbers. And then with the apportionments and the insurance, we had total expenses of $211,000, which left us, for the first time in over 10 years, as far further back, but my memory doesn't work that well, that we have actually ended up with a surplus at the end of the year. Oregon's truly blessed Lakeside, and thanks to you, I'm sure we can keep earning his blessing. We did have a surplus last year, but as you know, we all feel very good about that, those of us who deal with finance all the time. But we also know that as we look around our campus, we have many things that we can do with that money, as far as increasing our outreach and just bringing our physical campus up to update. So, we are very thankful for your participation, and I hope this encourages you that our church is doing the right thing and following God's will. Thank you very much.
Well, I too, as a pastor, would like to thank all of you for so faithfully giving the pledge campaign. When I came here,
are you sure?
I said, do we do pledge cards? And they said, well, that really doesn't work well here. Well, you know, the first year that I was here, I think we had about 48 people turn in pledge cards that first year. And in the 3+ years that I've been here, not because of me, I'm not saying this because of me, but you all have graciously embraced this church and its ministry and mission here to increase from 48 to 82 families, making a pledge and a commitment. And really, you know, a few weeks ago we talked about covenant and making a vow with God. You all have made a covenant relationship with God through Lakeside. And that just warms my heart. I know this is a great, faithful church, and there's many things that God has called us to do, and we're continuing to work towards our mission and ministry here. And for 82 families to make that commitment with us this year is just an awesome thing. So give yourselves a round of applause for being a part of. Now let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
Thank you.
our heavenly people. Gracious and loving God, we have come to this place to be your faithful disciples. On this Lenten journey, help us grow in our faith and in our relationship with you. Open our hearts to your love. Open our eyes to the light of your Son. Open our hands to the work of your Holy Spirit. Help us share your grace and follow the ways that lead to new life. In the name of Christ, we pray.
My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have redeemed. Psalm 71:23.
And they would need some light, I would have to run back there and give them the light.
Would that work? How much light is enough light for the world? This is a tricky question. Anybody want to help them? What's enough light for the world?
The Holy Spirit.
Jesus.
And the Holy Spirit.
I told you, anytime the pastor asks a question in church and you say Jesus, 99% of the time you're going to be right. Right? God said Jesus is the light of the world. When Jesus walked around on earth, how could people stand to look at him? Even this little light is so bright that it's hard to look at, isn't it? It hurts your eyes. It does mine. Now, if Jesus walked in here, would he be so bright we couldn't even look at him? If God said Jesus is the light of the world, that's sort of confusing, isn't it? Do you all get it? Oh, come on. You don't get it. So when we say the light of the world, we're saying that Jesus is the light of the world. What does that mean for us? Do you have a nightlight in your room? Do you? Do you have a nightlight? I have a nightlight. Actually, our nightlight's too bright. We need to have a... I think Jesus must be in our nightlight. He's way too bright. Jesus being the light of the world shows us how to go. That's what that means. Jesus is our light. Jesus is how we know what to do, what's right and wrong, right? Have I lost you? So today we're thinking about Jesus being our light. But even this little light, as bright as it is, Jesus is even brighter. But we can look right at Jesus and he doesn't blind us, you know? So Jesus is our light in the world. Are we glad we have Jesus as our light? So Jesus even lives in our night lights at home at night, right? He does. He's even showing us what's in our room when we turn the big light off, right? Jesus shows us the way. And Jesus is everywhere, good thing. Because if he's in my bedroom, lighting up my bedroom, how can he be in yours? Because he's everywhere, right? So when you look at your nightlight tonight, say, that's Jesus watching over me, showing me the way. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus, your Son, to be the light of the world. Our little flashlight has no comparison to the brightness that Jesus shows each one of us. Bless these children now as they go off to Sunday school. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. What you got with you there? A green monkey? That's pretty cool. That's cool. Okay. Will you give it back to me after church? Okay. Bye, flashlight. Has everyone been like me that you just cannot get rid of this cough? What's up with that? So we're going to pray today for our coughs to be relieved. It is a time in our service when we get to go before the Lord in prayer. And I know we all bring things to the cross this morning. So here are these that we're lifting up, and then we'll take yours as well when we have our time of prayer. I've spoken with Marianne Davis. She's actually doing very well at Signature. She's undergoing therapy a couple of times a day on her shoulder. She's had a shoulder replacement, so continue to pray for Marianne. Mary Hannah as well, to continue to heal from her fall. I got a call this week from the Crossman family. You know, our AC guy, Scott Crossman, his brother's 56 years old. He has cancer. He's in hospice up at Good Sam and getting close to the end of his life. So let's lift up the Crossman family and Chris especially. We continue to pray for David Snyder as he continues to have problems with his feet. And we just need to continue to pray for that. It's a complication of diabetes. and it's keeping him from work, which is really a tough thing for him. So keep David Snyder in your prayers this week. Eric Maldonado as well. He's an associate at Home Depot with Garfield. He's been diagnosed with leukemia, and he will be out of work for at least 6 months. So keep the Maldonado family and Eric especially in your prayers. Continue to pray for Norma Johnson. She progresses with her physical therapy as well. Tom Harden is, a couple weeks ago he was in church and he got a bug either from here or the family. The family's had a bug for quite some time, so continue to pray for Tom Harden that he does well, does good as well. Continue to pray for Ruthie Rawson and her stepdaughter's family, Cassie, who passed away last week. Ruthie is up in Ohio with them. We have a praise today, Hina. Miss Hina is 87 years old.
All right.
You know, there's many things on your heart today. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, we know you are the light of the world. You sent your Son to this place to be your representative to each one of us. Father, as Jesus came and walked the streets of this land, you sent him to redeem us. Father, our message today is redemption. And our only hope for redemption is through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray today that we would learn to appreciate the gift even more and more each day. Father, you've heard our pleadings this morning for our loved ones that are under the weather, sick, recuperating, recently diagnosed with cancer, or other afflictions, Lord, that just ravage our human bodies. Father, today we are grateful that you will listen to us. But Father, we have nowhere else to turn. We bring our pleadings to you. We bring our concerns, our cares, our loved ones, all those that could use the healing touch of Jesus. Father, as it was when Jesus walked this land and he touched someone and made them well, we pray for that kind of miracle today. We pray for Jesus' healing touch on each of those mentioned here today and those that are in our hearts that have gone unmentioned out loud, but you know where they are in our lives. Father, thank you for being a loving God. Your grace is sufficient for us. As we study the word of Paul today, we are dead in our sin, but you have made us alive in Christ. So, Father, as we gather here today, I pray your holy touch upon each one of us. As we progress through our Lenten journey, we progress with Jesus by our side. Father, we pray today that you would show up in a mighty way and we recognize you in our midst. Father God, we pray a blessing upon our community. Father, as we've seen this week, so many people are hungry, without a home, without any means of support. Father, we pray for your divine grace on them. Father, we pray that resources would be found, that people in mission would step forward to serve. We pray, Father, for what you've called each of us, the mission that you've laid out before us. We pray your divine guidance. Father, we pray today, grasping at straws, putting what we have no control over in your hands and being okay with that. Father God, we are a grateful people. I pray that you would let us remain humble, serve in humility, serve a broken world, thank you for the example of Jesus for each of us. So, Father, I pray a blessing upon each one of us today as we've gathered in this place, that we feel your presence among us. As we pray together, let us remember the gift of Christ who gave us this prayer. Our Father,
thank you. Father, we bring it with gratitude and humility to the foot of the cross. Father, bless it for the work of your mission in the world. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ. in order that we, in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. May the Lord have a blessing of the reading of this word.
You may be seated. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this text this morning. Father, without you, we are nothing. We are lost in our sin. Father, thank you for the grace you have provided each of us. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. For you today, why do we need a Savior? Aren't we good people?
No.
No. We're not good people. We like to think we are good people.
Filthy
our hearts have a little evil strength in them. We are filthy rags. We don't think Paul realizes that in our text this morning. These people at Ephesus thought they were good people. But Paul takes us back to a time in our lives when we didn't know God. Are we safe to say today that we know who God is? We know that we need Him. Today we're turning our focus to the one that provides us with grace. Anyone know the definition of grace?
Unmerited favor.
Getting something we do not deserve, right?
Right.
We're getting a gift on Easter Sunday morning. A gift that we do not deserve. It's good for us to know that. But first of all, we need to know what our condition is. If you're sick and you do not have a diagnosis, that's very frustrating, isn't it?
Amen.
I actually speak to a lot of people that the doctors cannot find out what's wrong with them. How do you treat something that you do not know what's wrong? That's tough. And our relationship with God is something similar to that. We've got to know what our condition is. Do any of you feel dead this morning?
No.
At 6 o'clock this morning, I felt dead.
We're alive in Christ.
Miraculously, I've been resurrected today. If you've been, if you've made it to church this morning, you find yourself being resurrected from your bed. Not from the dead, from your bed. So we're all here, we can leave this place today saying we can claim our resurrection.
Amen.
Seem to stutter when you tell people, I've been resurrected from the bed. Kind of stumble there. What's our only hope? Our text today is telling us that we are dead in our transgressions and sins. Today, I don't think I make... struck down here. Let me move over here. I'll trick God. You'll think I'm still standing over there.
Uh-huh.
Is this working in here or no?
No.
Okay. Okay, God, I'm going to give this a shot. I don't do big sins anymore. I just do little sins. But I think where I have an advantage over my old self is at least I know I'm a sinner. Amen?
Amen?
Big sin, little sin, we can't claim we're not sinners. We are sinners. By nature, we are self-gratifying. Something that is dead is completely unable to respond to its surroundings or to others in any way. Now, in the morning when I wake up, I'm sort of one of those people that just leave me alone for a while. My wife, when her feet, before they hit the floor, she's talking. She is a morning person. I am not a morning person. I'm sorry, honey. We're so compatible in so many ways. But in the morning, we used to ride to work together. My ears were bleeding before we got home. Please, just be quiet. I've never said that, and I don't really mean it. And I don't think that's what you're saying. I'm just making this worse, aren't I? This is a good one. I love you. I love you. Sometimes we don't even know we're dead. I got a cute story for you. A lady has a duck. The duck has a problem. The duck is limp in this lady's arms. She takes the duck to the vet, takes it into the vet. The vet looks at the duck, lays it on the table, takes out his stethoscope, listens for a heartbeat, shakes his head sadly and says, this duck is dead. Poor Cuddles is dead. She wails in distress. But doctor, you haven't ran any tests. You haven't done anything. Are you sure? He's just not in a coma. She protested. So the vet leaves the office and he goes out and he comes in with a black Labrador retriever. The dog comes in the room, hops up on the table, looks the duck over from beak to tail, shakes its head, looks at the vet, gets down. The vet takes the Labrador retriever from the room. The doctor comes back in with a little cat. The cat comes in, jumps up on the table, sniffs the duck from one end to the other, shakes its head and looks sad at the vet. The vet takes the cat back out of the room. The doctor looks at the woman and says, I'm sorry to tell you, but this duck is 100% certifiably dead. The vet turns to his computer and types out a few things. And the bill pops out and he turns to the lady and hands her a bill for $750. Once again, she wails uncontrollably. What do you mean? I'm sorry. But if you had taken my word for it in the beginning, your bill would have been $25. But with the lab report and the CAT scan, $750. Do you know this morning that you are dead in your transgressions? I can borrow a lab and a cat, and I'll come by and we will see you today, and I will send you a bill for $650 because I'll give you a discount today.
Oh, thank you.
Do you see my point? We don't even know when we're dead. Our predicament is that we're all sinners. You know, we squirm when the pastor stands up here and says, you're a sinner. We know that, but do we have to be reminded of it every day? There's a predicament of sin. We need to realize it's a simple reality in our lives. We are sinners. We can't help it. Romans 3 tells us there's no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Folks, we're all in this together. Our transgressions, our trespasses, it means to slip, stumble, deviate. It means to fall off the path of Christ. It means, like I told the children this morning, Jesus has lit our path and we put blinders on and we don't look for the light in the world. It's our nature. We're sinful. The only answer to that is what? A $750 vet bill telling us we're dead. The penalty of sin is death. Sin is costly. It requires death. When the Bible speaks of this, it refers to separation. Separation from who? Do you know people walking the streets today that are dead in their sin? There's a few of them around. I see them. Sin separates us from God. Paul is dealing with this condition. He says that we are physically born but spiritually dead. Paul seen it in the folks at Ephesus. He saw this trait in them. Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death. We will die. It's funny how many times I get to have this conversation with people. We don't get out of this world alive. Do you understand that? None of us are going to get out alive. So we need to have our sinful nature in its place. We know we're sinners. We're all seeking God's favor, right? Do we get up every morning and say, God, I'm seeking your favor today? Or are you like me? I get up and I say, Nancy, please just be quiet for a minute. Give me a minute here. We wake up sinners in the morning. Our sin has power over us. Does our sin have power over us? We are good, strong Christians. We are faithful, aren't we? Sin has power. It kills innocence, our ideals, our incentive. Wow, I just thought of something. Sin has killed my incentive. Now I have something to blame it on. How many times is it so much easier just sit back and say, maybe later. One of the perils of our office being burnt, I'm just going to throw this in. It's very difficult for me to work over there in the youth room. There's always people coming and going. This is a very busy church. There's people. They come in the door. They want to talk to me. And that's okay. But I can't work there. I try to stay there till after lunch, and then I tell Carolyn I'm going to go home and work. Carolyn's not snuck in here, so I can tell you. I don't always go home and work. I go home, and I say, let me see what's on CNN real quick. And about 4:30, I wake up. So far, I don't know what's on CNN, but it's on. Somehow my incentive leaves me between this office and my house about 15 minutes away. So my sin has stolen my incentive. Paul is telling us that our three main influencers of our sin is the world, the devil, and our flesh. It's not easy to live in the world and not be of the world, isn't it? This world has a lot of neat things to gather our attention, to take our focus, to take our incentive. The world's got some neat things in it today. We know the devil's always lurking around. Come over here, try this, try that. You don't need to go to church today. It's a beautiful day. Let's go to the beach. The devil wants you to go to the beach today. Did you know that? This is the tricky part. Is God at the beach? Strange like that, isn't it? But God also says for us to gather in a house of worship and be with others of the same thought. Of the same mind. We can come to church, we can fellowship, We can worship and praise God. The pastor doesn't run too long. We can be at the beach by noon. That's a pretty sweet deal. The devil is tricky. The flesh, we're weak in the flesh. It's easy for us to say, our flesh is only for itself. It's self-gratifying. That feels good, I'm going to do that. That kills the pain, I'm going to do that. So what's our cure? How do we get cured of those things? We know there's plenty of problems, right? What's the cure? It's where I started. It's what we don't deserve. What is our cure?
Grace.
Isn't it awesome that God loves us so much? I'm telling you what, you folks are very fortunate I'm not God. Because I would have given up on you a long, long time. God never gives up. God is always reaching out for us. God is always... Do you know God loves us?
Amen.
You know what grace stands for? I ran across this. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. God gives us what we don't deserve. Hallelujah. There now a hallelujah in the house?
Hallelujah.
Thank God we don't get what we deserve. Thank God we don't get what we deserve. God's grace is motivated by His love and mercy. Aren't we lucky? Are we lucky?
Blessed.
We're what?
Blessed.
We are blessed. We are blessed to be children of a loving God.
Amen.
We are blessed to be the children of a God who would send a son to die on the cross. We're going to remember that in a couple of weeks. We're going to remember that God loved us so much. He gave us His grace. He sent His Son to die on the cross. You know, we've been telling you a little bit about our trip to Israel. We spent a lot of time in our journey, at least for me, thinking and talking about among ourselves, what did Jesus go through? What did it feel like for Him? We were in the place, right, David? When you stand in the place where Jesus stood, the place where Jesus was held in jail overnight before He was crucified, we all stood in that room. Compared to Jesus' time, it was a nice room. There were steps you could walk down. There was nice light. I think there might have been a bench or two. Jesus hung from shackles from the ceiling in pitch darkness. Lowered down through a hole, a cistern, a hole by ropes. So as we stood there, we saw the tourist view. We didn't see Jesus' view. What we did see was God's grace poured out for us. So now what do we do with this grace? Let's box it up and put it in our back pocket and say, that's a good place to keep it. I've got a nice Bible on the shelf at home. Let's open it up and put grace right there somewhere in the middle and close it up and put it on the shelf and we'll save it. We'll always know where it is. Is your house like ours to say, I want to put that there so I never forget where I put it? You might as well throw it in the trash can and be done with it and quit looking for it, right? That's how we treat God's grace as sinners. We've got to take that grace, and God tells us to do something with it. The instant we receive it, we are to share it.
Amen.
We are to share it. Now, what does that mean? Y'all can check your shoelaces now, because I know this is when people start looking at their feet. God says, take this grace I've given you. You were spiritually dead. I have made you alive. I have breathed life into your spirit. Now go and share it with someone else. That's where it gets sticky, doesn't it? He made us. He raised us. He's given us something to do. So we take this grace that God so graciously shared with us, and we go tell someone else. I like this fourth part, and then he seated us. What did Jesus do when his job here was finished with us? He went and sat at the right hand of God, didn't he? Jesus got to sit down. When we do work and we're tired, what do? We sit down. When our work is done, we sit, right? Jesus did it. When his work here was finished, he went and sat at the right hand of God the Father. So you can't sit down yet. He's called us. He's given us a work, a worker's body. Anyone been called a worker bee this week? God says that once we receive Him as Savior, we become the tools in the hands of the Master. I love that. He doesn't say that just to save us for eternity, but also to serve Him until His return. Well, you've heard the orders, you've been given the orders, and you hear me say that a lot. We're always looking, exploring the way that God has called us into the world. Well, that's your challenge this week as we leave here this week. Is to where can I share? Where can I share God's grace with others? Do you know there's folks here in Lake Worth that has no idea what God's grace is all about? I can have you all raise hands and we're going to go to Mozambique and go on a mission trip and save some natives somewhere that have never heard the word of God. Or I could say, I met a young man that runs a homeless shelter over here off of Dixie. Patrick. He feeds homeless people. I could say, hey, let's load up Wednesday morning and go over and help Patrick serve some homeless people. Or we'll catch a flight to Mozambique and we'll really save some people. Which one do you want to do?
Lake Worth.
It's easier in Lake Worth, isn't it?
Not necessarily.
It's something. I'm looking at you, Robin, because I'm thinking what you do with your gleaning. Robin, could you use some help gleaning? Don't show them your nails, because she come in today and says, oh, my nails are just so dirty, I can't get them clean. She's in the muck of the glaze, but you know what? She's there every Saturday. She's found something that fills her heart to overflowing. And it's pretty fun, I gotta tell you. It's not bad. Anyone can do it. There's something you can do. You've been given a gift. Now don't put the gift in your Bible and on the shelf. Take it out and spread it and share it with others. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's close with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message today. As Paul spoke to the folks at Ephesus, he speaks to us as well today. Father, we've been given the gift of grace. We have been given the gift of eternal life. We are dead in our sin, but we are alive in Christ. We pray this in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. Please stand for our closing hymn today. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? Yes, he did.
Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.